What's good, wagering world? It's your boy Five Star in Vegas, and I'm broadcasting live from beautiful Summerlin, Nevada. This is the wagering world. I got my homie in here, my bro, broadcasting live from LA. What's good, Ski Profit?
What's good with you, man? It's another day trying to do what we do. Good to be back on the show. It's been a minute since I've been on the wagering world, but I know we got a lot to talk about. It's been an interesting couple of days, I'll tell you that.
Boy, it's been an interesting couple of, I'm going to say maybe, let's see, since April. So what is that, 7 months? It's been real interesting what we've been checking out, man. Let's jump right into the past and we'll get to it when we get to the first game. The first game we want to talk about that we talked about on the show together last Friday was the Browns +4.5 at the Raiders. You were all on the Browns on the money line and for the spread. What did you see in that one?
Man, you know, first of all, you know the Raiders are sorry. It doesn't matter how many people is going to be on the Browns. We've seen this week after week. The books can't even help. The refs can't help them. Nobody can help the Raiders. They're just terrible. And you got a team on the other side who they're going to be motivated. They're going to want to play for that quarterback that they've been wanting the whole time. And we saw he's a lot better than Dylan Gabriel. We already knew that, but everybody else saw that. Yeah. And it was just what I expected, man. It was easy. One of those stimulus packages right there.
Nice stimulus package. I just want to talk briefly since we're on that game. We already know we both cashed on it. It was an easy pick for us. What's going on right now with all of these people trying to tell the culture what to think about Shador? And it really ticks me off, Ski, because what they don't understand is this is a different type of relationship that the black community has with Shador, because a lot of us grew up watching him on, you know, his reality show with his dad. He was a little bitty boy, and we've seen this whole journey growing up, him and Shiloh, you know, coming from the Dallas area and growing up to men. And so it's like a different attachment that we have, and it is making these people so mad. Like, that's why I put obsessed. We're obsessed with winning bets, but for some reason, people outside of our culture skill are really obsessed with Shador Sanders and so upset with the way that black culture accepts him and the way that we like him and the way that we, you know, root for him. What is that all about in your opinion?
Why shouldn't we? I mean, the stuff that we like with Shador do, they like it when Jackson Dart do it or somebody else do it. Woo! They just don't like it when Shador do it. So why shouldn't we like it and celebrate it?
I'm so glad that you said that, because that segues into the real issue that I have with this situation. Okay, so they're so upset with Josina Anderson for having Shador's back and kind of saying positive things about him. But then you look at Josh Allen. You look at Justin, your guy, Justin Herbert. Josh Allen was called by Colin Cowherd, Ski, the greatest football player in history. This man has never won a Super Bowl. Since 2020, Josh Allen has the most turnovers in the NFL. But you cannot do any wrong, says the establishment, when it comes to him. Like, he's the perfect quarterback. He's the greatest quarterback. But he has 90 turnovers since 2020. Now, imagine if Mahomes or Lamar had 90 turnovers since 2020. They won't give Mahomes his props right now, and Mahomes is a three-time Super Bowl champion, has the highest QBR in the history of the NFL, yet still we're hearing them say Justin Herbert is the best quarterback in the AFC West. After the first game when they beat the Chiefs, every news outlet, sports news outlet that is, was saying, oh, Justin Herbert's the best quarterback in the AFC West. I'm like, wait a second. Mahomes has won 8 straight AFC West championships, and he has 3 Super Bowl rings. You guys are trying to sell us that Justin Herbert is the best overall, the greatest. So it just really ticks me off that you got these media members that have their favorites, have these guys that they like to push, these guys that they try to make excuses for. And we see it over and over with Herbert and with Josh Allen. But now when you get someone like Josina Anderson, who's saying some things that's, you know, might be a little bit, you know, over the edge, but it doesn't matter. She's a fan of Shador. She wants him to do well, just like you guys are. Joe Montana said that Justin Herbert was the best quarterback in the league after the first game. And again, I'm like, what the hell are you watching? Just because one game? But when the overreaction comes from the establishment, it's okay. But if it comes from, you know, the culture, oh, it's a problem. What are y'all doing? This is a joke. What a joke. They're all on Kendrick Perkins because Kendrick Perkins said that Shador is right now is the most powerful black man since Obama. Now, we know that he was, of course, doing some hyperbole, but I understand what he meant. He was on my boy Kiki's show. Shout out my homie Kiki out of Houston. What he was trying to say was that he has the most motion, which he does. It's hard to find anyone black who dislikes Shador and isn't rooting for him. So that's what he meant. I think he kind of has replaced LeBron as the most talked about athlete. Shador has been in the news cycle literally every day since the draft, Ski. Every day, if you turn on the news, the leading story is Shador Sanders. And it has a lot to do with the fact that the media wants to play both sides. They want to use him in order for clicks and to get some motion going, but then they want to tear him down when people try to say that he's going to be good or he's a good player. It's just really a catch-22, and it's just more reminded to me about COINTELPRO. You know, I don't know if y'all don't know it in the chat, go look up COINTELPRO, something that was started by J. Edgar Hoover, and you'll understand right now what we're dealing with. Going to your sport, and then we're going to move on real quick. Today, Stan Van Gundy just said on a podcast, a very popular podcast that's like broadcast everywhere with one of the most popular NBA media guys, that Nikola Jokic is the best player in the history of the NBA. I haven't seen anybody retweet that saying, what are they absurd? What are they doing? Are they crazy? But if we say anything slightly like Shador is going to have a good career, he's a good quarterback, it becomes the biggest roast from all of these media guys who got so much hate in their heart. You talk about legendary, they got legendary hate for Shador, bro. And it lets you know that you're doing something right. You still got guys who are writing articles saying that Arch Manning, after he's played, how he played this season, should be the number one draft pick. So if it's like this, if you want to show favoritism to guys you like, you can't get mad when other reporters who have the same, you know, pen and have the same platform use their influence to talk about the guys they like and hype up the dudes that they like. So I just can't stand that it's always like two different worlds that we live in, Ski. You know, it's like anytime that our cultures get something that we embrace and we like, here they come trying to tear it down, trying to tell us why we're wrong. You don't see me and you trying to tell them, Ski, on Twitter, hey, man, Elvis Presley music sucks. It does. I hate it. I've never heard a song by Elvis that I like. But the white culture loves Elvis. I hate the Beatles. Their music sucks too. But every time that they talk about the Beatles, Rolling Stones, the greatest band ever. You don't see any black people retweeting that and saying, man, nah, Mick Jagger sucks. Or, nah, man, you know what? Paul McCartney couldn't sing. No one's saying that. We let you guys do whatever you want as far as in your culture and who you like to lift up, who you like to praise, what you think is good. Let black people have some fun sometimes. You know, like let us have a guy that we like to appreciate and that we root for sometimes without having to jump your ass all in our mix and always try to tell us about a culture you don't understand, don't care to understand, and never lived.
I ain't got nothing else to put on top of that.
I appreciate it. Let's keep it moving, man. Let's go to the Chiefs -3 versus the Colts. We both had the Chiefs. We pushed on that one. What did you see in that one, Ski?
Man, I didn't get to watch that entire game, but the Chiefs, man, Mahomes was, he should be playing around too much, bro. The pick to start the game just pissed me off. I don't know. It ended up being a game where all the money was on the Chiefs. And it looked like that's how they was playing. Like, you know what I'm saying when I say that.
Yeah.
After that, you know, I was already doing a family event and stuff like that. So I just wasn't really paying attention after that. I can't lie.
Right. But we were able to cash it. That's a good thing because, as you said, it got a little rocky. It was a lot closer than it should have been. One thing that I took from it is Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes and Daniel Jones is still Daniel Jones, because we saw that when the Colts really needed to get it done, Daniel Jones was a no-show. He had a strong first half, and I expect a little bit of the same this week. when they face my Houston Texans. All right, let's get to this last one in the past before we get to the present. We got the Cowboys plus 3 versus the Eagles. What a comeback. The Cowboys are down 21-0. Everyone thought that I was crazy when I said that the Cowboys should cover this game and might win in money line. I said it before, their defense is so much better when you put Overshawn over. The Overshawn is such a big difference maker. I watched him for many years at Texas be one of the best, if not the best, the best college football defensive player in the whole country. And what he brings is that not only does he bring edge, he brings a lot of high IQ and also playmaking. So the Cowboys defense looked like a completely different defense. Do you think that it's more was that the results were more because of the Cowboys offense, or that the fact that their defense was able to buckle down? Eberflus had a good second half, or is it just the Eagles have a suck ass offense?
Yeah, I mean, I bet the under on this game, and you know, I cashed, and a lot of it was the Eagles defense. I mean, at least their defensive line is pretty good, and you know, secondary still to be determined, but the defense have been playing well, and the offense, I mean, they haven't really been doing much. You look at the Cowboys, I can't say I really trusted their defense in general, but I can understand the thought of them getting better with the players that they added. So combination of those things put me on under, and I was happy to cash a ticket.
Yeah, they have a short week turnaround this week as we get the traditional game in Dallas, Texas, as they come, the Chiefs actually go to Jerry's World. It's one of the better Thanksgiving menus that we've had in the NFL. All right, man, enough about that. Let's get to the present. We're going to start off with your sport. We already missed the Celtics and the Pistons game. I was really interested in that game, too, because how many games in a row now had the Pistons won, Ski?
13.
Wow, 13 straight games. And Cunningham's been out, what, maybe two of those games?
Yeah, he was out a couple, maybe even three.
I saw you ask a question. You said, are they the new Thunder? And that you made me kind of step back and think for a second and say, wait a second, maybe Ski has a point right here. What makes you so impressed with this Detroit team, Ski?
I mean, you know, more I think about it, it was just more so they've been bottom of the barrel for so long. Like, they just had a seat, like, it was either last season or the season before where they had like a 20 or 25 game losing streak. So that's exactly where the Thunder were. And they just, you know, continue to build. Detroit has a lot of young guys like that. Cade, one of the top point guards to me in general. So I just like the way I saw them coming together. When I look back on what they've done so far, their schedule seems pretty easy. And I think at a point they'll become overvalued. So in saying that, they've had some high point spreads. They've been -9, -10. They've been up there. And now they're on a 13-game win streak, and this game was -2.5. Yeah, that stood out to me, definitely.
Did you play a side on that game? I missed it early. I was with the kids, man.
I played Celtics +3.5.
Yeah, that's what I was leaning to. I was definitely leaning. It's down to 2.5 when it went off. What's you got the score right now? What's going on that one?
It's 35-34.
Okay, so it's a close one right now. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that especially this time of the year, holiday game, the Celtics, I know they're missing Jason Tatum, but Jaylen Brown's been playing pretty good, and this should be a game where they want to kind of show the Pistons, like put them back in their place, and it's also a game where you got to think that the Pistons are looking to kind of show them that we're the real deal and we're going to run the East this year. Great job over there by J.B. Bickerstaff. I've criticized him a lot, but what he does do is he does a really great job of giving young teams confidence and also teaching them to play hard, man. So shout out to him. All right, let's get to another NBA game. We got my Rockets going to San Francisco tonight to face the Warriors. No KD. Mighty fun out of it. KD missed the game to Phoenix and to Golden State. The NBA schedule set to the perfect for him where he could duck both games back-to-back, you know, for the week, and just say he's, as a veteran, taking off for Thanksgiving. Somebody said he was having a baby. I don't know about that, but the Rockets still have looked good, even without KD. It's a really solid lineup, man. Probably the best young team in the whole NBA right there with OKC. We can't take it away from OKC because they're still young and they have a title, but the Rockets are right there at their heels, man. Did you have a play for tonight's game? And give me a breakdown of what you think about what happened tonight out in California.
First of all, I mean, how many games has Kevin Durant been out? It ain't been that many.
No, just two. But it's been Phoenix that he used to play at and Golden State. Two crowds he really didn't want to go to, I don't think, and play at.
You know what? I can't put too much into Houston beating Phoenix. One, I think Phoenix is a little bit overrated right now. And they're dealing with some injuries, too. And, you know, we see this all the time where teams step up with their star player out for a game. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to continue to happen over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a strong believer in this squad without Kevin Durant, especially, you know, they already had the point guard problems. So I think it will catch up to him. Can it catch up to him tonight versus the Warriors at home? Absolutely. If I'm playing this one, I would agree with the market and taking the Warriors.
Okay, and I'm very contrarian on this game. I play the Rockets first quarter, first half, mostly every game. But this game, I'll take a different approach and play the full game. I do like the Rockets on this one. I think the Rockets are going to win this game. I just think that they're a much better team right now than the Warriors are. And I think that they win with their offensive efficiency. Even when KD's not there, Sagoon has become such a good player that you can make him not. The first option, he's really the first option when KD's there. KD plays off of Sagoon if you watch the Rockets every night. But the main thing why I think the Rockets are going to be fired up is because the Rockets are a very competitive team, and that comes from their coach, Ime Udoka, who's passed that down to them and kind of put that in them. And I think that they're going to be really, really focused on trying to win this game because of what happened last year in the playoffs. I think with the Warriors knocking them out the playoffs, and that was this squad. KD wasn't a part of that squad. We're getting some really good contributions off the bench right now. Reed Shepard has to be in the talk for sixth man of the year. This kid is really hooping, man. And we already knew he was a hell of a player, really efficient. It's rare that you see a guy with his size be the best player in the SEC, but he was. He was clearly the best player on that Kentucky team. And I remember he was lights out. And only thing he had to do was get over the fear of, you know, being in the NBA and playing with grown men, and he has now this year. And a lot of that has to do with KD. KD has put a lot of confidence in that kid, man. And I like everything I'm seeing from him. Aaron Holiday is looking really good. And they're saying we might get Drew Holiday over there with him, and we have both the brothers. We'll see if that goes down, like, you know, right before the trade deadline, or they just keep the team rolling as it is. I know Tari Eason will be back tonight, and that's very important. I like the Rockets, man. I'm going to take the Rockets in right here and fade the public. I think that the Rockets can get it done. I think that the number kind of shows you. The line looks really funny with it being under 3 points with no KD. So I'll shoot with the Rockets on this one.
All right, yeah, man. I forgot what I was going to say right there, actually. I don't know. Whatever. But, yeah, you want to talk some football?
You know I want to talk a little football, man.
I know you're ready for some football. You love this football. It could be a whole 50 basketball games on. You want to talk some football.
But college basketball has been my love, too, and I've been on it. But the whole last week I've been locked in. That's literally all me and the group been playing, and we've been smacking on it, too, man. And I know you've been doing well, too, on it with the college basketball. I think the last 10 – I want to say we're 9-1. Only loss that we had today. I don't know why I took Iowa State first half, but we doubled back and ended up getting them for the second half. But they should have covered against Syracuse, and they started playing with their food. But it's a lot of good college basketball action. Actually, when I get to the bottom of the parlay, I'll give out some. But I'll let you narrate right now, man. Let's get to the NFL.
Yeah, we got a few Thanksgiving games. And the first one is – probably the most interesting to me, or the one that I feel kind of strong about. Green Bay and Detroit, it opened 2.5. We see a lot of threes out there. I'm going to say like this, first of all, to start off. I can't help but get this out of my mind. Uh-huh. We saw J.J. McCarthy go into Detroit and beat the Lions. We saw J.J. McCarthy go play the Packers and couldn't do an absolute damn thing. Like, he couldn't do anything. Right. So, I think that just represents how bad the Lions defense is and how good the Packers defense is. Now, with that said, I think I know the Lions play better at home, but Goff, he's been struggling or not looking like Goff of last year or the previous 2 years or whatever you want to call it. I think a lot of it is because his offensive line ain't been as healthy. And, you know, that could be a lot of quarterbacks. If they don't have that protection, they're not going to look as great. I just don't have a whole lot of trust in anything I see from Detroit right now. I don't love Green Bay's offense as far as missing Tucker Kraft, missing Jacobs, but I trust their defense more than anything. So I'm thinking about Green Bay in this game or under.
Okay. I can see both sides with that. This one is a really tight one, as you see by the spread. The spread is yelling for me, like as you said, Packers, but then you look at the Packers. Do I want to trust those receivers? Do I want to trust, you know, Jordan Love to be the guy that does everything in this one? Because you know that their star running back is out in Jacobs. So this one, for me, I think I'll be playing a prop on it and probably jumping in late. You know, like I'll be looking for some props on this one. You know, I think that it's going to be some points scored, at least by the Lions. I the Packers should score something, but like I say, now you got no Tucker Kraft. You know, their best two players on the offensive side of the ball just aren't there. And we talked about before, I'm not high on Christian Watson, man. He has all the speed, all the size, but this guy has terrible ball awareness. He can't get to the ball. He just has a horrible catch radius. So I would lean the Lions if I was going to play any side on this game. But the play for me on this one be, you know, the Lions running back getting into the end zone. Like, we know that. Like, I don't know what the number is. Let me see what the number is on him to score right now. I didn't pull it up. I was doing so much stuff. I apologize, guys, that I don't have it already. It should be probably minus 160 because he scores every game. Yeah, it's at minus 180, but I still like it. I like Jahmyr Gibbs to score, man, at minus 180. I think that he gets into the end zone for sure. And I'd probably play Ross St. Brown also getting in zone at plus 105. It's a Thanksgiving game. I'm sure he's going to have a celebration, so they're going to try to run some. But they are struggling, and a lot is starting to – as the season continues, you start seeing things kind of unfold, and your initial view of things kind of has to switch. And one of the things that I was saying early in the year was like, man, Ben Johnson – they don't miss him. They're going to be okay. This is Dan Campbell's offense. He was giving it to Ben Johnson. But as we see the year go, Chicago's looking like a really good team under Ben Johnson, pulling out a lot of these victories, and the Lions have definitely stepped back some. I don't understand why the Lions won't lean on their running game more. Like, Dan Campbell, you're a tight end. I know you like to throw the ball. That's what you like, the trick plays and all that. But you have a very, very good offensive line, starting with Penei Sewell, who's probably the best tackle in all of football. Run the ball to those two great running backs, and you guys will win a lot of games. They need to cut down Jared Goff's pass attempts to 20 to 23, 25 a game, man. He's throwing the ball too much. And we know that if they can't block up any type, if it's not a clean pocket, Jared Goff is going to always have issues, man. So – I would play, as I said on this one, I'm leaning towards touchdowns, and I go with Jahmyr Gibbs. He said Jacobs in. Okay. Okay, that's a bet. So Jacobs is in. I didn't know that. I thought he was out for a couple of weeks, man. Thanks for that information. That's why I love this community, because they're going to always keep us laced up. If Jacobs is playing in, I'm with you. I take Green Bay could probably get it done as long as Jacobs is playing, and I take Jacobs to score a touchdown too. So let's go with Jacobs at minus 127 to get in the end zone. Let's go with Jahmyr Gibbs at minus 180. And let's go with Amon Ross St. Brown at plus 105. I'd take them straight and then maybe parlay them and, man, have some fun on Thanksgiving. That way you just kind of rooting for scores. You're not really rooting on the side. But I'm with Ski now that I found out Jacobs is in, because Jacobs changes everything on that offense because they can control time of possession. And that's one of the main strengths. When you look at a LaFleur team, is controlling the ball, man. So if they can keep the ball away from the Lions, we know that the Lions defense is not going to hold up, but the Packers defense can if they allow them to rest on the sidelines and get ready and get ahead of the down. So, yeah, we both lean the Packers on this one, but my play on this one for sure. Is that official play for you on the Packers, Ski?
I haven't bet it yet. I'm making my NFL bets tonight or in the morning.
Okay, so Skia tweeted out, y'all follow Skia. If you have, most of you in my community already do, but if you don't follow him, at Ski Profit, I'm sorry how to box up. I tried to change it so you could see his at special guest is covered, but this isn't a special guest. This is family. He's part of the show forever, man. So at Ski Profit, S-K-E-E Profit. You guys go follow my guy right now if you already aren't. All right, let's get to the next Thanksgiving game, Ski.
Yeah, we have a good old Patty Mahomes versus Dak once again. This is third game in 10 days for the Cowboys, I believe. Still a short week for the Chiefs. Chiefs now at 6-5. Season still alive. Cowboys, I mean, their season's alive too. This 3.5-point spread. I mean, there's a lot of threes actually popping up now. It opened 3.5. I'm seeing it come down to 3. The thing is, that Cowboys defense that we were talking about is cute versus the Eagles offense. It might look a little bit different versus Chiefs offense. We've seen how bad they were for majority of the year. I think that's how they're going to look in this one. I think the Chiefs can score as much as they want. I would be doing either Chiefs team total or just betting the Chiefs in this game. What do you think?
This one is going to be a shootout. It's going to be entertainment for Thanksgiving. I've seen a lot of money coming in on the under, and that's what I like to see. I'm on the over. So is my guy right here. Jonathan, we appreciate you for rocking with the Waging World. I know the 52.5 is a lot of points, but I think that they're going to make this a fun evening game for America, where all of America can enjoy a shootout. We don't get a lot of them anymore in the NFL. It's a lot of low-scoring games, man. Maybe like 3 weeks ago, it was a lot of overs. But for the most part, the NFL has always been, I'd say the totals use the average. I'm just guessing off my head, but I'm going to say 44 to 45 is the total of most games in the NFL. This was inside Jerry's World, fast surface, two really good quarterbacks, a hot offense over there with the Cowboys, and then you got a desperate Chiefs team. So, as you said, I think that the Chiefs can score when they want to. Rashee Rice. I'm going to play him for sure to score a touchdown because Rashee Rice is from the Dallas area, and Andy Reid does a really good job at things like that and like getting his guys who he knows it's an important game to getting the ball. So I'm going to play Rashee Rice to score a touchdown in this one at minus 125. And also, I'm playing the over, man. I want to take the Chiefs, but this looks like a 41-38 game to me, Ski. Like they win by a field goal at the end or something like that. So, because I don't see the Chiefs are a really good defense, but unless they're dominating and getting a lot of sacks outside, McDuffie's good, but I don't care who is trying to hold CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. No one can stop that offense for the Cowboys right now except themselves. They're humming, man. And I like Schottenheimer. Another angle for him, Schottenheimer's playing his dad's old team. He grew up in Kansas City. Marty Schottenheimer was the coach. So it's a lot of nice angles on here to look toward the over for me. And so even though it's high, the highest one on the board for the week, man, I think the 52.5 can get it done. Sheem Lindsey, shout out Sheem. He's always in here rocking with the Raging World. He said the Chiefs defense has not looked the same. He says Ragnow is coming back for the Lions just on the previous game we're talking. That is very important because Ragnow is a hell of a center for Detroit. Tony's asking me where to get my bet, find your best bets. Tony, hit me up on X, man. Give me a DM and we'll chop it up.
All right, we got one more game in the NFL. That's Houston and Indy. Opened up minus 3.5 for Indy. It's up to 4 or 4.5. And Indy looked good for, half of the game there, I guess you could say. And then the Chiefs came roaring back. Indy's looked good for most of the season. The Texans, Davis Mills has been doing what he's needed to do, and that defense has been standing up. So I do trust Houston's defense more than the Colts. I do trust C.J. Stroud more than I trust Daniel Jones. That'll make me lean towards Houston. And maybe even more than that, I mean, Indy, they're the kind of team that does not have the greatest pass defense, does have a good run defense, and Houston doesn't even have a run game anyway. I would look at CJ's pass attempts at 33.5. I mean, quarterbacks routinely go over their pass attempts versus Colts defense. That'd probably be my first look, and second would be Texans plus the points. How do you view this one?
Have they cleared CJ for sure yet? I remember he practiced on Wednesday.
No, they're just saying he's practicing.
Yeah, because they asked to get one more full practice in. If anyone from the Houston area, I know a lot of my guys follow me on ESPN 97.5 or amongst the community. If you guys have any info from the local radio station in Houston, if they've cleared him yet, because everywhere that I look, they're saying that they haven't cleared him all the way yet, but it's definitely leaning towards him being able to play, but nothing official yet. I know that since we've had this matchup going on between these two coaches and Shane Steichen versus D'Amico. D'Amico has pretty much owned the matchup. He's sent their matchups 3-1 against Steichen since he's been coaching the Colts. The Texans have been really good against the Colts. This is a really important game for both teams to try to show who's going to, you know, run this division, not only just now, but probably for the near future, too, as both teams are fairly young. Even Daniel Jones, he's been in the league a while, but he's still in his prime. He hasn't reached 30 yet, man. So this is a big game, just period, regardless of just this week. It's just going to have a lot of influence on the outcome and on which way these teams go in the future, man. I know that everyone loves the Colts offense and things like that, but I think that the strongest unit in this game will be the Texans defense. And we've seen a million times before, Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, it's all the same with these quarterbacks. I mean, even Brady, Mahomes, the Super Bowls he lost was pressure. Pressure will destroy a good quarterback. They'll make him look like a completely different guy. And I don't think that Daniel Jones is a good quarterback. I think that he's a decent quarterback playing in a really good system, and Shane Steichen is coaching his ass off, putting him in really good positions to win. The Texans are going to have to shut down Jonathan Taylor. They're going to have to keep the Colts behind the chains. As you saw last week when they were moving the ball on the Chiefs with Jonathan Taylor, it set up so much play action for the Colts, and they were able to get up early. But overall, this is a real important game for CJ Stroud, man. You got some idiots in Houston who are saying, well, maybe Davis Mills needs to be the quarterback. We're not going to pay attention to the fact that he didn't do jack in the second half last week, you know, but hey, he's winning. That's all that matters. He won 3-0, but you're not going to convince me that CJ doesn't win those same games. We'll see. One thing that I did like about Davis Mills, a quarterback, he forces the ball to Nico Collins. And that's something CJ doesn't do. CJ came up with Ryan Day at Ohio State with a lot of studs outside. So he's going to throw to the open man. He's going to have to do a better job of kind of force feed Nico. That's something Davis Mills has done. And it opens up everything. Jaden Higgins is on the verge of being a star. He's like a baby Nico. He needs to look to him some, get all the receivers involved. The Texans just really got a really good roster, man, and they're turning the corner. A lot of pressure on CJ, but he has to have a lot of good memories in the stadium. He's won there twice, and not only that, when he was in college, he put up a huge monster game with Ohio State there as well in that same stadium at Lucas Field. So I'm on the Texans. You guys know that. I think Texas money line is the play for me at plus 160. That's great value. Daniel Jones may start fast. The Colts might be up at halftime, but as the game wears on and the pressure starts to build on him, he's going to give the ball away. He's going to turn the ball over. He's going to throw the ball at some guys' feet because he's just not that guy when it comes to dealing with pressure and being able to lead his team. You know, I deal with quarterback and situationally. You can look good all day from the beginning of the game, you know, until the middle of the game. What matters is what do you do on third down? What do you do right before the half when you guys need to put up some points? You need to score a field goal. And what do you do at the end of the game? And all three of those areas, Daniel Jones has not been good, bro. He tends to just tuck the ball and run it when things get shaky. And I think that D'Amico knows how to play him. So give me the Texans on that one as well, Ski, at plus 4.5. And I also will take the Texans money line. All right, you know I love some college football, Ski. We got a big one coming up. We got so many big games this weekend. It's ridiculous, but we got a super big one coming up on Friday. Let's talk about that one a little bit.
Yeah, you love the kids, so.
Hey, I love those minors.
This one, I mean, it is my team here. Texas, versus A&M. Texas has the underdog. This one's at home, and they're the underdog. Texas is just not good this year. I mean, I said that from the beginning of the year. Kind of already figured that. I'm biased at this point. I just don't want to trust them in any game. So you're going to have to tell me what's the play in Texas and A&M.
This is a tough one, Ski. This is a real tough one. The reason why, because everything with this goes with the if the line is funny, it's probably money. Because why the hell is 10-0 A&M with that dominant defense, with those great playmakers that they have, with Marcel Reed, surely a Heisman candidate, only laying 2.5, less than a field goal at Texas? And Austin isn't even a big home field advantage. You know, it's like maybe they're trying to make you be too smart. You know what I'm saying? Because it looks like to me like A&M should come in and dominate this game. From what we've seen with Texas offensively, I mean, they talk about Shador throwing screens. That's all Arch Manning has done. You're like, that's the reason they've started winning is because Sarkisian was so smart. He said, you know what? I'm taking the ball out of this kid's hands. He's obviously not ready to be a part of a real passing game. So let's get him some short throws and a lot of screens and get some yards after the catch. Another thing I don't like about Texas is their receivers. Wingo can't catch, man. He drops at least 2 balls every game with my boy up in there, J-Dub, Rose City, represent H-Town to Rose City. You know how we do. So, you know, that's what makes me afraid on this game. But the line is saying, and the public push is saying, that Texas should win this game or at least cover it. So I don't know how they get there because, in my opinion, Texas's defense hasn't been as good as it was looking early in the year.
They gave up. They know they can't do it all. They tired of
every time they go out there, they their ass off. They bleeding. They tired. Yeah. And then after the game is over and on Monday, everybody, where's Arch Manning? They got all the cameras in Arch's locker. So yeah, they're tired of that, man. But you know, I like betting the Miners, man. The Miners are always giving me money, whether it's college basketball. Well, not that I even Miners anymore. They used to be under 21. All these dudes now like 24 playing football and basketball. Now, and they're getting paid. So I can't even call them Miners anymore or amateurs. Now they're just, I guess, semi-pro. So that's my new name for them instead of Miners. We'll call them the semi-pro athletes. But the last time these teams played last year, Texas won with their defense. It was 17-7. They were able to go down to Kyle Field and win. Marcel Reed is a good quarterback, but I still have some apprehension about him, Ski. Like, he's a little bit undersized. He can make some throws. He can run around, but is he the guy? We know that Texas is going to be really hyped for this game because the only way they can get into the playoffs is by winning this game. So anything is probably an under game, honestly. You know, it's probably under 51.5. We got an NFL line on this one because how many college football games do you see this low? Every now and then we'll get ones in the 40s, but most college football games are usually 55.5 or above. So this one is saying it's going to be an under game for me, man. So much as I hate betting unders, my advice to the community would be to bet under on this game in the slugfest. Two defenses that are much better than the offenses that they are playing. Well, I'm not going to say it's much better than A&M because A&M runs the ball, but I don't see anyone lining up just running the ball down Texas's throat. So tough one, real tough one right here, man. It's either stay away from me or play the under. Now we got the big game.
Yeah, this one, Ohio State, I mean, I haven't watched them all year, but I know their defense is elite. And from what I've seen from their quarterback, I think he's pretty good. I like him. Michigan. I'm kind of lost on Michigan, but when I think about Ohio State and I see this line dropping from 11 down to 10 and a total not moving, I don't know, maybe I should just be trusting the defense more than just the offense to help cover the game. I would think under. What do you think?
On this one, we just talked about the line 43.5. That's one of the lowest lines you're going to see in college football, man. I'd probably lean over just to be contrary. That's too low, man, in college football. It's too easy. It's too wide of hash marks. And too easy to catch mismatches on the outside for me to say, you know, I'm going to go under 43 and a half. That's ridiculously low for a college football game. I lean Michigan on this one. I'm probably going to play Michigan because Teron Moore has never lost to Ohio State. In fact, Ryan Day has lost four straight games to Michigan. I'm sure in the first half they're going to come out all hype and ready to prove that they're the team that everyone in the country knows. Though they have some excellent players with Jeremiah Smith outside is going to be a number one pick. I'd love for Caleb Downs to be a Houston Texan. I know it's not happening, but boy, I would love to see D'Amico Ryans with that type of talent back there at safety playing beside Bullock. He's just a difference maker, a different type of dude, man. But Michigan is not bad enough to be getting 10 points at home, bro. And especially with Sharon Moore's ability to scheme up for Ohio State, he always has a good offensive scheme for them that gives them some issues. This isn't the first great Ohio State defense since they faced each other. Ohio State has been dominant this year. I always talk about good teams win, great teams cover, special teams can win when the whole public is betting with them and they still cover. And Ohio State has done it over and over. They're 10-0 straight up, but they're 8-1-1 against the spread, which is really impressive. But, man, when it comes to Michigan, I think the Michigan just gets up in a different type of way from them. I think Bryce Underwood is going to use his feet and frustrate Ohio State a little bit. The freshman quarterback is a really good athlete. He might not be developing at the pace that people want him to because everyone wanted him to be a Heisman Trophy candidate this year as a freshman. But he's definitely going to be a guy that plays on Sundays, man. He has the arm talent. He has the strength. That's what I really like about Bryce Underwood. He's a strong cat, man. And really a lot of speed. I think he's going to make enough plays against Ohio State to keep them in the game. So give me Michigan plus 10.5 on this one, man. I just can't lay that type of points on in a rivalry at home. I got to be a huckleberry on this one.
All right, that's all the games we got for today. So
time for the ball and parlay, Ski. I'm going to let you go first. What was your favorite play for today?
Well, I only had one play in the association, and it was Boston plus a 3.5, and they're already playing right now. So, and you already know good old Faithful already played earlier today. It's tough for me.
Yeah. We took that Houston first. Hey, I knew that when we covered the game, it was like 11% of the money on Notre Dame for the game. That's why I jumped all over the first half, especially them coming up off that ridiculous loss to Tennessee. Houston was not supposed to lose that game, but they're trying to gel right now, man. The Cougs trying to gel. Ski, I know you see like this more talent than last year, but they're not a better team than they were last year, you know?
I don't know. It's still early. At this time last year, the Cougs were 4-3. They were not looking good. They didn't start to look good until maybe December, January when Uzan started to turn around. So, like, it is a lot of young players. You know, December and January, they could be looking like a lot better team than last year. I think that Kingston Flemings, we haven't had a player like that at Houston.
He can go, bro.
Yeah, I'm excited for.
They had a player like that, just not in our lifetime. Not since we've been watching. That was my dad's time. Rest in peace, my pops. He loved Fox Slammer Jam. You can't forget about Clyde Drexler. It's a guy I know. All of Meshaw's family, they from Third Ward. When you get a chance, look up from Fox Slammer Jam highlights. You'll see a guy named Meshaw who played left-handed guy that played on the wing that was crazy good, bro. So they've had some players like him. It's just not in a while, you know, not in this new generation since Kevin Sampson took over. He's building up a great program. They got the number one player coming in next year as well, too. Scenic is my guy. I think Scenic is a
– they need to get him more involved. He just don't be – like.
It's their system.
They need to get him more involved, bro.
But what's crazy about it is, what's our boy named last year who used to drive us crazy missing turnaround left-handed hooks?
Jawan
Roberts. Jawan Roberts got so many looks on the post, but Scenic is a stretch four, so he's kind of using them like the kid from Indiana who used to play for us. I can't remember none of these dudes' names, but I just know them, know their games when I see them. But they're using him like him. He likes to shoot the three. Even though Scenic is 6'11", he likes to shoot the three, and he got a great touch from out there. But I think he's a lottery pick, bro. He's really good. Flemings, I hope he doesn't come out. just because he's smart. I want him to have a year where it's all about him. You know, like I want him, after Uzon's gone, I want him to come back next year so he could really be his show and he could be first team.
Good luck with that, bro. Now, he ain't coming back. He's out of there.
Yeah, he's out of there. I think so, too. He could ball, man. He can go. That kid has a really sweet shot, really great pace for the game, man. Well, we're going to stay.
I'm just going to eyeball it, all right?
All right.
St. John's open minus six.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's betting St. John's, and the line is, you know, down to four and a half. I'm going to just
Don't do it.
I know St. John's is your boys. You better take them first half.
I already got them first half minus two on the short number. Auburn's, you know, sorry, bro.
They not. If they could play Houston the way that they played them, they better than I thought that they were.
Bro, this is my problem with Auburn. I feel like Bruce Pearl missed over his son. He dipped right when the talent went down. Like, they only got Pettiford, man. Pettiford is like Damian Lillard. He's the next Dame Lillard to me. He can take over a game, but I just don't think that Rick Pitino is going to allow that. Rick Pitino is one of those guys who's going to pull out the whip. Like, you guys got to play some D. Lock this shit up. And I like St. John actually in this game. I think St. John's going to cover.
I know you do. Them your boys.
Yeah, I think so.
If you had another
the over
team,
is probably to play on it though, Ski. The over 165. What is it, 165 and a half or something?
Yeah, 166.
Yeah, 166. Yeah, now that's what I lean towards. But we have to keep in mind that Auburn got embarrassed last night. They sat on the bench the whole second half. He said the starters literally the whole second half. That's why I jumped in live and started beating up Michigan some more, because Michigan was still playing their starters. So I could see that angle on that one, but me, I'm going to play St. John. I already played it with the group.
We took it out, man.
Yeah, but I'm not going to give it out on here. I'm not going to go against my dog. So we're going to just say that. So Ski said on the contrary, he likes Auburn for full game, right?
Yep,
full game plus, and I think Auburn isn't talented enough to stay with St. John, or I don't think that they have the dogs that St. John has. I think St. John is still ticked about that loss. I'm playing Kansas plus six, a contrary play against Tennessee. Tennessee's flying high. They're coming off of being all. Oh man, we got another. Okay, I'm gonna fade you, brother. I see a fade, but let me finish this one first. The first we're going with is Kansas. It's a Bill Self play. It's just Bill Self being a much better coach than Tennessee's head coach. I've been dealing with him since Texas, man. And he's all right coach. He's a good recruit. He's did a great job building a program down there in Tennessee. Shout out to homie. He did a great job. I got the painters in the house, too. I had to turn this way on the screen, because if not, I got like Mario and Luigi in here working. they'll paint everything. But, you know, getting ready for the holidays, man. So family coming over and stuff. We're going to cook big tomorrow and all that. You know, I'm going to save some of that seafood dress. That boy, mm-hmm. that boy Webb already.
Nah, don't let him eat it all up.
I told Webb I'm going to cook by Friday. I was like, Webb, I'm going to pull up on you Friday with the sea. He said, I got to have it tomorrow. I said, all right, bro, just pull up over here. But, yeah, I like Kansas, bro. And even though they don't have my guy, Darren Peterson, who I think Darren Peterson is going to be the best pro. It's so much great talent coming out of college basketball this year, but I think Darren Peterson is the best guy. Have you seen him play, Ski?
Yeah, he's nice. Yeah, he's
nice, right? Mm-hmm. Don't you see a little Kobe in that boy game?
I'm going to wait, but
I'm not going to say that. Now, listen, why I say that is because his temperament. Look, watch his feet. Watch his footwork. His footwork and mechanics are outstanding, man. So I like that kid, and he has a better shot actually than Kobe did at that age. But I'm going with Kansas plus six, even though they're undermanned. I think Tennessee is real happy that they beat Houston, a revenge spot, because Houston knocked them out of the Sweet 16. No, not Elite Eight last year. So give me Kansas, man. I think that their size is going to come through, and their big men play really well in that game plus six. And then here we go right here. What's up, Spread? My guy, Spread. I got Spread on the college basketball too now, Ski. All right, Jonathan, I'm sorry I got to buck you. Jonathan says Gonzaga first half. I'm on the other side. Give me Michigan and Dusty May. Dusty May has a group of guys who can shoot the leather off the ball, and they're very deep, and they play at that same pace. Giving Dusty May Michigan's team is unfair from what he built at Florida Atlantic. You know, that was our team, Ski. We was betting the hell out of Florida Atlantic. And Dusty May runs the type of offense. He's an ex-player himself, ex-point guard. He likes to get up and down the court. Best of luck to you too, brother. Best of luck. We're on opposite sides on that one. But my play for the bottom parlay is going to be Michigan first half and for the game against Gonzaga. I think Michigan wins this game money line. Gonzaga hasn't ran into anything like Michigan. They play some decent talent, but Ike Austin is not what's his name? Ike. What's Ike's first name? I forgot his first name. Ike, that used to play for Arizona State, is the number one guy for the Zags. And they also have the kid that transferred over there from where did he come from? Grand Canyon, I want to say. He started out maybe at Auburn. He's been hurt. He's like 25. He's just like your boy from Auburn who played for USC now that won't ever leave college basketball. But they can play, man. But I just think Michigan's too deep and too big. Michigan has a squad, bro. I'm rolling with Michigan right now. Michigan has been the most impressive team to me in college basketball. So give me Michigan first half and give me Michigan for the game, plus 2.5 and money line at plus 115. I think that they're going to beat the Zags. And I think that they're going to win pretty handily, too. All right, guys. That's a wrap for today. My guy Ski was nice enough to come in here with me and hold it down. Spread has been very busy working and stuff. Holidays, man. Happy Thanksgiving to every one of you guys. We appreciate you all, man. It's always love over here in the wagering world. It's always positivity. We try to give you guys a different spin from outside of what you see on, you know, mainstream media. We like to represent for the underground, the underdogs, man, and let you know what the hood thinking. Let you know what the guys who are thinking who don't get a microphone, don't get a platform, man. So we appreciate you guys for tuning in. It's all love. Let's keep winning. Ski is rolling against me. He's going with Auburn and taking the 4.5. I laid already the 4.5 for St. John. And then I got Kansas plus 6 for the full game. And I also took Michigan three ways. First half for the game and money line. We appreciate everyone for tuning in. Anything for the people, Ski, before we get up out of here?
It's always the cash out button. It's all right, man. But no, I appreciate you. Appreciate you having me on. I'll be back out there. We'll be hanging out soon. And yeah, don't let Webb eat up all that good food, man. Save some for your boy.
Man, you know I got your wife. I already put the oxtails in. Now it smells like nothing but seasoning in the house. Right now, as we speak, slow cooking them things for about 24 hours, man. So they're gonna be firing off the bone when you pull up, bro. Hey, man, it's all love. It's always us versus the machine, and as always, I dedicate this show to the greatest Houston sports fan I know, and that's my father, John H. Lindsay. Me and Spread will be back sometime next week. If you don't follow Spread, go follow him at Spread instead. Follow my guy, Ski, at Ski Profit. I'm 5-star in Vegas. See you guys next week.